Welcome to Wealthy After 40. Ready to ditch debt, retire sooner, and live life on your own terms? Only 54% of Gen Xers feel prepared for retirement, and 22% believe they will live a comfortable lifestyle. So if you're feeling like your finances are a hot mess express, you're not alone. I'm Daylene Higgins, founder of Elevate Finances and money coach for Gen Xers. I reached my dream of retiring at 50 while helping our daughter through college, and now I want to help you do the same. It's time to stop avoiding your finances like the plague and start having confident conversations about money. Join me every week to talk about personal budgeting, debt payoff, saving for retirement, money mindset, and leaving a legacy for future generations. Okay, friends, let's talk money. Welcome to Wealthy After 40, and I am excited to have Farron Dogs here today. He is a certified financial planner and wealth advisor with more than 30 years of experience. As the founder and CEO of Harrison Wallace Financial Group, he serves as a go-to source and trusted advisor for his clients across the country. Based in Libertyville, Illinois, Harrison Wallace Financial Group provides comprehensive wealth management services and a consultative approach to help entrepreneurs, executives, self-made millionaires, and generations of families meet their financial goals. Thank you for joining us today, Farron. I appreciate your time and excited to talk with you about how Gen Xers can be ready to retire, right? We are nearing the end. Some of us are fastly approaching 60. The others have just passed 40. These are crucial years. But what if a Gen Xer hasn't started or got started late?
Well, Daylene, thanks so much for having me today. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. And that's a great question because a lot of people do find themselves in that position. It's like, wow, life has happened. And all of a sudden I'm 40 and I haven't saved that much, you know, for my retirement. I've been so focused on maybe raising a family or saving for college. And so in my practice, I do run into this a fair amount, you know, because they have to prioritize what they want to focus on. And if truly, if they have not put a solid financial plan together, they may not even really know, you know, what they needed to be doing to achieve, you know, the retirement goal or the education goal. They just felt, I need to do this now. And, you know, to their credit, they were focused maybe on getting those kids through school or saving that. And so a lot of times we really sit down and say, okay, you've done so much work on the front end for your children. And you've spent all of your time and energy focusing on saving money for them, helping them get through school, and helping with their expenses. Let's really dissect what you've been spending a year just on those, because that's money you're used to not having, right? Let's go through those credit cards. You know, how much did you put on a credit card for, you know, your child to get them through college or to get them through that last semester? And how much did you save, you know, systematically in a savings plan of some sort or another? Now let's focus on diverting that to you. And let's focus on making sure we get that in the right types of investment vehicles, be it let's beef up your 401k. Does it make sense to do a Roth 401k or just all pre-tax? Are you in a position to take advantage of the catch-up provision at this point in time? Do you have the flexibility to do that with your cash flow? Those are kind of the slam dunks, I guess. And then we go back to, should we be looking at a backdoor Roth IRA to help save additionally for that tax-free bucket down the road? Beyond that, it's really a system of saying, let's put that comprehensive plan together and let's see where you truly are in comparison to where you want to be. And I have found so many people misread how much they're really going to need in retirement. Some on the short side, some on the, oh, you are really exaggerating what you're going to spend, you know? And when we look at, you know, all the money that comes out for Social Security taxes and how much federal taxes, really, truly, how much net is coming into your you know, checking account at the beginning of the month, right? And that's the most important thing. And then let's look to see what expenses are going to be there in retirement. And it's really a matter of getting very real with your lifestyle and what you want. And I have found a lot of people, you know, just kind of, you know, haphazardly planning, they kind of price themselves out of retirement. And so therefore they're saving for money they probably won't spend. But then I do have those clients that we're really going to have to put our nose to the grindstone here. And we are going to have to be diligent about, you know, squirreling these dollars away. But there are other things to look at. You know, in an age where we have subscription services like crazy, right? All of a sudden you look at your credit card balance and you have 10 different subscriptions. You know, when you first signed up for it, it's like, oh, you know, $10 a month doesn't sound so bad. But when you have, you know, 8 or 10 of those, it adds up a lot. And so we've really taken some steps to help clients with those sorts of things, which can kind of seem very, it can seem very basic, but people kind of forget just how much they are spending on things that they probably aren't even using. You know, oh, I signed up for that monthly massage, you know, therapy, and I haven't used it in 12 months, you know. That can get pricey, and those can be dollars that can be really reallocated to your investing. Other things we do talk about is, you know, what about passive income ideas? You know, are they the type of person that if there is an opportunity for maybe generating some passive income through a rental property or being part of a business opportunity, is that something that they would want to entertain? That may provide another source of cash flow for them down the road. And the other thing I think is really understanding your Social Security benefits and how they tie into your overall plan. And I guess it really, as I'm talking here, it really all comes back to planning. And I think for age 40 is a great time to start planning, because at least you can set your goalposts, you know, and maybe you have a lot of other things along the way, but at least you know what your playing field looks like. And as you get closer and closer to that goal of ultimate retirement, you know, that field will become a little more narrow. But if we've done our homework and we've done our due diligence and we've done the planning, and what was required, we should be in decent shape.
I know, sure. You know, sometimes people get caught up in the day-to-day, right? The caring for others and the caring for their immediate family and, you know, just doing all that thing, you know, all those things that we all of a sudden realize, oh gosh, you know, I may want to, you know, kind of consider this. And if somebody, say somebody's 55, what would be the first step they need to take to start looking towards retirement and towards retirement planning?
Mm-hmm. Great question. Well, I think the first thing is to really, again, kind of go back to step one. And because really what your desired income or expenses are going to be in retirement, and we bring it back to today's dollars, we'll include inflation in our analysis. But, you know, if you were to retire today, then what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? Number one, what are the requirements to run your household? You know, just the day-to-day things, you know, the electrical, do you have a mortgage, all of those types of things. And then we'll sprinkle and add on the nice things and the fun things, you know, that are going to be exciting in retirement, such as travel, you know, grandchildren, additional savings for those types of things. But those are variable expenses. And I really try and segment those into inflatable committed expenses, maybe non-inflated committed expenses, such as a mortgage that may have a fixed rate, but it will hopefully eventually drop off. And then also those variable expenses. And it's really a process of getting that number set. Otherwise, you're really just shooting at a moving target if you don't. And then from there, what do you currently have in place? Where can we maximize your benefits? Is it through your employer plan? What kind of benefits are being offered through your employer plan? If they haven't participated, at least go up to what the employer match is, you know, just to get that quote, free money, right? That's a kind of return that no other advisor can really get for them, is a dollar for dollar match on that. But then above and beyond that, from a cash flow perspective, are there other opportunities such as utilizing that catch-up provision? And also with a 55-year-old, you may be really closing in on when you ultimately want that goal. And so we implement kind of a bucketing process. And what that looks like is, you know, I use a three bucket process. That bucket number one is really stable money. It's money you expect to be using for maybe the first year or two of your ultimate retirement goal. That does not have any movement in the market or with the market. Now, today, because interest rates are higher, at least bucket number one's making some money, right? As opposed to what it was even 18 months ago. But then bucket number two is something that may be dividend producing investments, things that maybe don't necessarily move around so much. They're not super high growth, but they're generating a form of income through interest, dividends, and potential appreciation. And then bucket number three is these are my long-term monies. These are what's going to keep up with inflation and hopefully, you know, carry me through my ultimate retirement. That way, a person doesn't necessarily feel like when they're 55, you know, if you're a 55-year-old and you just started saving for retirement and you hit a 2022 in the market, you're going to feel pretty deflated if you're all in bucket number three. And that tends to be the goal. You know, they want to reach for that potential return. But we have to remember, it's potential return. It's not guaranteed return. And so that's why implementing that process, I think, makes a lot of sense. Because I'm like, keep your eye on bucket one, keep your eye on bucket one, you know, because you have to be methodical about these types of things. And then also, are there other benefits, you know, that you have available through your employer that can bring down some of your expenses? You know, are you able to, if you're putting wills and trusts together, are you able to utilize their legal benefits, you know, for a year so you don't have to pay that out of pocket, or at least pay 100% of it out of pocket? Pet insurance. Pet insurance has become a big thing, and I have a lot of clients who have loved their pets. And they spend a lot of money on pet insurance. So that's a way of cost savings. So let's transfer this cost savings to help you, not necessarily maybe just go to XYZ insurance company and you don't use it. So that's the first step, is really getting down to brass tacks about, you know, what is your goals? What are your needs? But then also understanding, what does that look like if you do retire at age, you know, full retirement age, for example? What does the Social Security look like in your situation? And then what we like to do is a lot of what-if scenarios. So maybe it shows, oh, there's a shortage there, you know, so there are a couple different things you can do with that. You know, you can either spend less, you can, you know, work longer, whatever the case may be. But a lot of times people say, well, I'll retire, but I don't necessarily think I'm going to not do anything. And so let's put in there, well, how much do we need to really earn for the next 5 years after retirement, maybe through gig economy jobs or part-time jobs, doing something that you really enjoy, but it's not necessarily a career, right? And a lot of times when we plug those numbers in, you know, it helps that they don't have to invade their, you know, tomorrow bucket right away. And so that allows five more years of potential compound growth on that. And that can really help them extend those years.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And I love how you discuss employer benefits. I know that is something that a lot of people don't really strive to learn about or understand. And really, we should be taking advantage of those as an employee and really, you know, full advantage, right? To, mm-hmm, you know, absolutely, be able to do all those things. So yeah, I know with the match, I had it, my husband did not. And it was 50, if not 100% difference in what, mm-hmm, we were, you know, saving and what, right, we were able to walk away with. So, right, it was awesome. Yeah. So,
and there are also other programs like outside of the 401ks, for example. You know, you maybe life insurance benefits, maybe you just need kind of a gap insurance to cover some potential liabilities. Can you do that through your employer plan versus spending more money on an outside plan? You know, granted, you know, you have to be aware that those benefits usually go away when you leave, but that's just understanding your whole package. And I am a strong advocate on every open enrollment. Let's just review your benefits. Is there anything new that's being offered that maybe you could utilize? One thing I've been seeing a lot of employers offer now is identity theft subscription. You know, so they don't have to, I personally have identity theft, you know, subscription I pay annually for. If my employer paid for that, which I guess I am my employer, but, you know, if that was a benefit, why not let them do that? You know, they're willing to do it. And that saves you money that you can put to other places.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially right now in this economy, lots of employers are starting to look, you know, and looking not only increasing wages, that's tight, like adding those extra benefits to, you know, sway people to choose one employer to another. So that is huge. So, all right. So you're a manager for generational wealth. So say a family, an individual, couple, whatever, they didn't have generational wealth. They might have received an inheritance, but it was more from property assets. But really, you know, they're just been saving, they've been doing well. What do they need to do to prepare? Because it appears they may be, you know, the first to like pass on that generational wealth. What do they need to do? What do they need to consider? What do they need to plan for?
Great question. And I think a lot of people are kind of coming into this now as more and more, I'm seeing more and more like small and mid-sized businesses being sold or, you know, merged with other companies that is creating that liquidity event for these families. And it's like, wow, I've never had to deal with this. And that's really where we sit down and we talk about, well, what are your true desires with these funds? What do you ultimately see, not only during your life, but you know, at the end of your life, how do you see these being distributed to your family, to your charities, or whatever your goals and desires are? And it's having kind of that discovery estate planning meeting of, you know, ultimately what would be really great for us to have? Do we want, you know, depending on the size, of course, of the wealth, do we want to kind of have a philanthropic sleeve of our family? Or are we comfortable just, you know, kind of getting this out to our children and our grandchildren? And, you know, that really sets the tone for number one, how much estate planning you really should have in place. And understanding the players in that estate planning, your executors, your trustees, how are your trustees going to communicate with one another? And what is really expected of them? And so from beyond that, if you're the kind of that first generation of wealth, I think it's really important to communicate that with the players in your estate plan, meaning, you know, let your executor know that, okay, I just want you to know, I'd really like to name you the executor of our estate because I trust you and I know you'll do a very thorough job, but it is a big job. You know, there's a lot more to it than, you know, just, oh, you just got to sign a couple of papers. And then share with them, and I'm not saying you have to share dollars, but at least share with them who your financial professionals are. Who is your attorney? Who is your accountant? Who is your financial planner? These are the contacts, and these are where our financial advisor will know where our assets are because he's so nosy that he asks me all the time, you know, but that's part of my job. And then I encourage my clients to provide me with copies of their documents for safekeeping, of course. But then, you know, many times I am the first one notified. God forbid there is a passing or something along that line. But I think it's that communication. And again, it's not sharing the dollars. It's sharing the desires and sharing the context. And I think if you always share your desires and say, okay, I have my potential trustees in the room and I have my executor in the room, you know, this is ultimately what we want to happen. And make sure they have that written down, make sure that it's documented legally as well. But then it really does help prevent a lot of bad feelings down the road. I've been in situations where people say, oh, my kids will get along fine. They'll never fight. And they do. They fight about silly stuff. And, you know, it's just a process of communication. And I think, you know, the older generations, right, were very close to the vest about their money. You just didn't talk about money and you just didn't talk about those things. I think as we become, you know, as we've gotten older and a little more comfortable with that, we do talk about those things. And we talk about them because those are what we want to happen. And we don't want, you know, arguments among the family. We want this to be a smooth enough process. It's always emotional, right? Yeah. So why have a financial emotional problem involved in it? So that's my goal with all of my clients as we walk through this process. Now, granted, some of their adult children may have very different views on how they would approach things. And I have situations where they have three children, two of them they're comfortable giving their money to, but that third one, they're just not sure how they're going to spend it. That's okay. You know, I mean, they can't, as long as it's understood that this is why we're doing this, kind of protecting you from yourself kind of situation. So it comes down to communication and just making sure everyone is on the same page.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. And sure. Thank you for sharing today. And before we close, mm-hmm. We've talked about a lot, but what is one action item listeners can do today to begin looking towards the future?
That is such a great question. I really believe it's sitting down and making sure you devise a plan. And it's kind of goes back to, we've heard it probably 100 times, but if you go to build a house, you know, you design it from the foundation up. And if you haven't taken the time to invest in that, you're going to have a pretty unstable structure, right? Mm-hmm. So the first and best thing you can do for yourself is to really sit down and be honest and say, where do I ultimately want to be in my retirement? Is that 10 years away? Is it 20 years away? Whatever the case may be. But the sooner you get started answering that question and starting that plan, the better off you're going to be going forward, because you have a full path, a straight path ahead. You're not just trying to play a guessing game.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. And absolutely. Listeners, you can connect with Farron at Harrison Wallace Financial Group on the Facebook. Connections will be down in their show notes. So thank you again, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Daylene.
Are you a Gen Xer looking to break free from the shackles of debt, secure your retirement, and embrace a life of financial confidence? Are you worried about your retirement savings? I get it. Life throws curveballs, but here's the good news. I'm here to help you on your path towards financial freedom. The Financial Freedom Accelerator, a 90-day financial transformation, is the ultimate solution to your financial worries. Imagine a life without debt, where money works for you and you can build a legacy for your loved ones. In just 90 days, we'll teach you the basics of budgeting, saving, and debt reduction using our simple and effective cash flow payday budgeting method. No more sleepless nights over bills. Are you ready to take the first step toward financial security? Follow the links in the show notes or visit my website at www.elevatefinances.us for more information. Thanks for listening. Every week, my goal is to help you get one step closer to financial freedom and making confident decisions so your money starts working for you. Having a community of support is important to your financial success. I would love to have you join me in my free Facebook community, All Things Personal Finance. Inside this group, every live training, action challenge, and posts are filled with tips and strategies to help you progress to financial freedom. If you have questions from today's episode or want to learn more, follow me on Instagram at Elevate Finances. If you're looking for personalized support to get your finances on track, check out my website at elevatefinances.us to learn more about how I can support you with one-on-one coaching. Thanks, and have a wonderful day.